PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Welcome to the Worst Golf Podcast. Everybody wants to be the best. We strive to be the worst. When a bad take is necessary, we're going to be here to share it with you. I'm your host, JB, and with me is Morgan. She'll spend most of her time off camera, yet she's going to be here and keep me in line with all those buttons. Before we get started, make sure you subscribe to YouTube or whatever outlet you're watching this on. Give us a like and let us know, more than anything, what you think of the show in the comments section. We are not live this week.
No, we are not.
We are sitting, I'm getting ready to leave town in a day or so, and there's a hurricane kind of coming at us.
Tropical storm. Yeah, and it's not coming at us. It's currently here and banging on the windows outside.
Yeah, so if you hear some noise, that's what you're hearing, and we apologize in advance. But Hurricane Ian was a big deal in Florida, Morgan, wasn't it?
It was. It definitely was.
Hitting on the southwest side, the Naples, Port Charlotte, Venice, Englewood areas, hitting all the way up to Sarasota, Bradenton. You have family in that area?
I do, and this is for Big Dill, Punta Gorda, not Punta Gorda.
Yes, it is Punta Gorda. We up in the northeast side of the state, it hasn't been that bad. You know, some heavy rain, some really strong winds, but nothing major.
No, the biggest thing for us up here is there's just a lot of water, so there's going to be a lot of flooding, especially for people in the low-lying areas or anybody who's on waterfront property.
Sometimes with the hurricane talk once a year, there's a little bit of a cried wolf because you have everybody who's never lived in Florida screaming that the world is coming to an end in Florida. And the people who have lived here who have kind of gone through this for 40 or 50 years and never been hit. So they're like, oh, again, no reason to panic. And they do nothing. Somewhere in the middle is probably a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, part of the thing is it's not even that they've never been hit. It's that they'll get hit. Here, I'll switch over. They will get hit, but they're told, you know, it's catastrophic and the world's coming to an end and, you know, all these horrible scare tactics. And then it turns out that it's nothing worse than, you know, a typical summer Florida storm. Because we get in Florida with our summer storms, like we'll get, you know, 40, 50 mile an hour gusts at times. And like, you know, the house is rocking from the thunder and the lightning. So sometimes we're like, eh, well, it's not that big of a deal, but it is smart to be safe just in case.
Yeah, just in case. It doesn't mean if you're in the area like we are, you should go filling up your bathtub or anything. But listen, better safe than sorry is what I'd say.
Exactly. And there's something to be said for peace of mind.
So something came up about on our forum, somebody was coming to Florida.
Yes.
And would it be poor taste to look forward to a golf trip in Florida after a hurricane? And I'm going to let you kind of take over on this one a little bit because you've been through this a number of times.
I actually think that it was very kind of that person to ask that question and to think about that, but I don't think so. I mean, I don't think that you're trying to celebrate during a time of somebody else's like sorrow or hardships or anything like that. You had a trip planned, and if it can go on, then live your life. You know, if we had to stop our lives, and this sounds horrible, but if we had to stop our lives for every time something bad happens to somebody else, nobody would ever be able to do anything. So I don't think that it's in poor taste, personally.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. You know, this state, the way it exists financially, is much to do about tourism.
Yes, absolutely.
And people coming to this state, I mean, that rat mouse in the middle of the state, people call it Orlando, it's not really Orlando, people coming to that bring a lot of the revenue for the state, just like any other, I would say, beautiful coastal state, you know,
yeah,
where
exactly.
There's oceans and beaches and things like that. And the beaches on the Gulf side of Florida are
spectacular.
They're, to me, the best in the country. So I don't think it's bad to celebrate that kind of stuff. You know, with that said, make sure you check on your trip.
Yeah, you know, obviously. I mean, make sure that like the course is, you know, you can play it, that there's not, you know, it's not underwater or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. If you're going to the Naples or Sarasota area.
Yeah, probably
and
don't
this
do it.
Person was.
Oh.
They're going to want to contact those golf courses because they could be in some rough shape. And
yes.
I say that for the northeast side, too, as this storm exits the east side of Florida. Some of the courses, including where my family is in the Palm Coast, Hammock Beach area, are going to get a lot of
Yes.
I don't want to say destruction because it's not going to ruin the course, but yeah. A lot of rain and weather and sand blowing up and things like that.
And certain parts of the state definitely drain better than others. So some courses might be fine, but yeah, I would definitely check first. And not just that, but airports and driving, because you got to remember too that there's going to be a lot of flooding and you may not be able to drive. Or airports, I know they shut down Tampa Airport. I don't know when they're going to reopen that. So, Sarasota, Bradenton, they had water damage, that airport, and they had a roof collapse. So they're hoping that they can get that fixed within like a week, but I have a feeling that if you're supposed to be flying in and out of there, it's probably not going to happen.
We have the perfect segue here. Mm-hmm. Other than me, I'm actually going to follow this storm up north,
yeah.
But
yeah, you
are. We have the perfect segue, which is rain checks and weather issues with golf. And you kind of jotted this down as a note, but I wanted to discuss it because it relates to what we do with our, you know, THP experiences too. If you go to a place, we can control a lot, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But we can't control the weather.
No. Well, my grandfather always said that it never rains on the golf course, but
he was lying to you.
Yeah.
But rain checks with weather and golf is something that's gone on forever.
Mm-hmm.
I had a recent experience where, of course, I got to play 6 holes and the course didn't want to give me a rain check. Maybe it was 7 holes. They said they hadn't blown the horn because there was no thunder, but I mean, you couldn't see a thing and the course was completely drenched and everything else. So I think there needs to be some sort of norm or standardization in that, but I understand that's not coming.
I always thought there was, and then learned that there's really not, and everybody kind of just makes up their own rules as they go. So
yeah,
I don't know. You know what it feels like to me? It feels like an insurance company.
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, you pay for 18 holes. I don't expect a course to give me my money back, but if I play 4 or 5 holes, let me get a rain check for 18. If I play 7 or 8, give me a rain check for 9.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, give you a voucher for at least 9, or if nothing else, like, hey, go have a meal on us or something.
Yeah. The other thing that I've seen is I do think it's been abused a little bit, where someone will say, like, oh, it's too slow out here. Can I get a rain check to come back another time? That's obviously abuse, and that shouldn't be allowed.
No. I mean, the word is rain check. That's
yeah.
Weather, not slow play.
Exactly. That's one of my rants, but you have one in your little get off my lawn segment. You want to take this over?
All right, I do. This is not going to apply to a lot of people, but for those that it does, I hope that you, I shouldn't say I hope you don't feel the same pain that I do, but it's cluster mailboxes. So in the new community that we moved into, I don't have my own mailbox anymore.
You could see Arrow over here listening to your rant.
Hi.
Yeah. He's very into it. He actually is really enjoying the storm, which is super weird. But the cluster mailbox is just like one mailbox, and it has like, I don't know, 10, 15 mailboxes for the block. And then like they do another one and another one. So you don't have your own.
Similar to what you'd find in the old days at a condominium or
yes,
apartment
yes,
complex
exactly.
Or things like that.
Exactly.
Apparently in the Northeast Florida where we are, neighborhoods are done that way.
So I guess it's happening everywhere where even if you had a mailbox, they're changing it to do cluster mailboxes, especially in these larger communities, because it's easier on the mail person. Okay, fine. I understand that. But as somebody who does a lot of shipping, I don't have a way to run out to the mailbox and put something in there last minute to ship out. So now,
right, like when we give away a prize or
yes,
something like that.
Yeah. And like I finally hear back from the person and I'm like, okay, great. I've got the prize ready to go. I can go throw it in the mailbox. It'll go out today. No. But I can't just put it in the mailbox tomorrow either. There's no outgoing spot. There's no, I mean, for actual like pieces of mail, like, you know, regular letters, sure, but not for packages. So I have to either schedule a pickup, which my USPS person already hates me for, or I have to go to the local post office to drop it off because I used to be able to go to a UPS store, but my local UPS store doesn't do USPS either. It's a whole thing. Anyway, so cluster mailboxes, I hate you. I hate you, and I miss my old mailbox so much.
So this is the kind of the first time Arrow's made like a major appearance on the show here.
And I know.
He just is not having just laying down. We were talking about our experiences a little bit earlier, and I wanted to mention something because I got this question on social media. There were a number of threads on our forum about, you know, pick your perfect dining, things like that. In fact, I started that one. And I was curious, really, can you hold him for a second?
He's trying to sit on Josh's lap now.
I was curious about what people thought of their ultimate dining. Is it explorative? Is it, you know, steak and potatoes? What it is? So I started that, and we got a lot of good feedback. There was some good stuff in there, but somebody sent me a question privately, and I actually asked them, is it okay if I talk about this on the podcast? And they said, yes. They said, why do you care about the food? And I didn't know how to respond because, A, food is a big part of our lives, yes, whether it's healthy eating or not healthy eating or indulging, whatever it is. We both like good food.
Yes.
But it's also a part of these because the difference between our THP experiences and a group of forum members getting together to play golf is vast.
Yes.
I'm not saying one is superior to the other, because I think they both have their place and they're both can be a lot of fun. We have groups of golfers get together all the time and we think that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when it comes to our THP experiences, they're extremely inclusive from the aspect of skill level, and anybody who's an Albatross Club member can enter, but they're extremely exclusive from the aspect of how many people will be at each one.
Correct, yes. And if there's one thing that we've learned is that the smaller the event, I think the better it is, because I feel like it's a more...
Yeah, I think there's a little bit on both sides personally, but mm-hmm. I get that part of it. But moving back to the food, and I'm going to circle back to that and we can discuss that right after this. Going back to the food, if it's a group of golfers getting together to play golf, yeah, pizza, burgers, wings, awesome. And yeah, in fact, we could do that at some of our experiences, maybe elevate it a little bit, and that's awesome too. But when it comes to the ability to sit with these industry icons, for lack of a better term, and brilliant minds of the golf equipment industry, and have an open book and answer question and answer session and talk about equipment in a way that is unlike anything else in the world, we think that should be over good food.
Yes.
I think, you know, you go to this beautiful golf course where we're going to take you for one of our experiences and we're going to play golf, you know, with these people, with new equipment. Sitting down afterward in a diner is awesome. But sitting down and having a chef-prepared meal that we selected that we think everybody's going to love, even better.
Yes, absolutely. It's that whole breaking bread.
Now, you mentioned the smaller events being the best. And I can actually agree with that on a lot of levels. I think when it's a little different is depending on how many people are coming from a company. So,
yes,
for instance, if we have four people coming from a company, Era, you need to chill out. Sorry for those audio listeners. We have a dog that during the storm is going back and forth between us.
I'm probably going to let him sit on my lap here in a second.
If we have a company that, let's say, Callaway Golf is bringing four people to one of our experiences, I think having just four THPers there would kind of be almost a waste. I would rather have eight.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word waste, no, but I would say that I agree, because they're not going to... It's not fair as far as getting a full experience. You want to have a few more people there to be able to enjoy that.
Yeah, and you're right.
I'm just going to switch for a second so people can see what's happening right now. For the people who are watching, Arrow has decided to join me on my
lap. Yeah, if you're an audio listener, we have a dog sitting in Morgan's lap in front of the microphone. So if you hear sneezing or anything, that is our dog. He's an old man. He's 15, and he's part of our family, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
But, you know, going back to the size, we do events anywhere from 4 mm-hmm. to
16
to 25 with the granddaddy.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But that
true.
Is only 13 or 14 THPs.
Yes, that's true.
26 with the granddaddy. So, yeah, we could have an event and host it and have 120 people show up and play golf. And I think that would be awesome for a thing. But I don't think in the end people need us for that.
No, I agree with you.
I think that what we do with our experience is a little different. If you haven't been, check out one of the live update threads. You're going to show up to, you're going to sign up, you're going to get in, you're going to probably order equipment or get fit for equipment. You're going to show up at a golf course. You're going to meet the people who created that equipment. They're going to hand you your equipment, and then you're going to go play golf with them with that new equipment.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's pretty crazy. So we kind of went off topic there on the food, so I'm going to segue right into your recipe of the week, which should be fun with a dog in your lap.
Yes, and he keeps trying to go behind the seat for those who can't see. He keeps pushing and trying to go behind me. But My recipe, you guys asked for something for barbecue. So I went with something for the smoker, but you can do it on a regular grill too. I did a pork tenderloin. I know, bud. That's the dog. I did a pork tenderloin. This is one of my favorite recipes to do.
This one is so good. For audio and video listeners, this is one of my favorite things Morgan makes.
And I love to do this when I have guests because it's so easy and it doesn't really occupy a lot of my time. So to me, sorry, hold on, guys. Arrow has decided to turn around in my lap now and he can't decide what he wants to do. And this is just a hot mess. Arrow,
come here.
Your mind, bud. Go ahead.
Wow, talk about a dog ruining a show.
Never ruining. He's just the star now. Okay, so you can do, I'm just going to do it quick because honestly, there's only like five, there's only four. There's four ingredients in the entire recipe. So a pork tenderloin, some sort of cherry cola. You could really do anything. You could do a Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper works really well for
this. I've done cream soda before too, but I just happen to really like the cherry flavor personally. So Dr. Pepper, cherry cola, any one of your favorite barbecue rubs, you literally just put the rub outside on the outside of it, and then you inject the inside with a little bit of the rub mixed with the cherry cola. And then when you get to about halfway, maybe three quarters of the way, then you start to mop it with a sauce. You can use any kind of barbecue sauce you like, but my personal preference is to do a sweet sauce. I know that sounds weird, but a sweet sauce when you're just doing like the mopping where you're kind of basting it is really good. And then you can use more of a savory, spicy sauce to dip it in after, but it's foolproof. I'm telling you, you cannot screw this up. It is literally so easy.
And so good.
It's so good. And you just leave it on the smoker and you really don't even have to check on it except when you're going to go over there and baste it a couple of times. It's crazy easy and it's delicious. And it's a crowd pleaser every single time.
Switching from food, we're going to talk a little about golf equipment, which I know, Morgan, is one of your favorite topics.
Yes, it is.
But I wanted to ask the audience, and they can respond in the thread, about how equipment companies kind of get typecasted. And I'll get to a little bit of that later about staying in their lane, not in their lane, how some equipment companies are typecasted into a certain thing. But this past week, we had two new releases that in a lot of ways surprised me. The first is a Wilson premium putter, the Wilson staff putter. And I'm going to ask you to kind of hold the dog here just in case. But okay. I got one in my hands here. You could see it's actually really, really good looking. Just doing a quick 360 for our video viewers, for our audio listeners. You can see we got a staff model. Milled, stainless steel, really premium putter. Head cover even is premium all the way down. But one of the questions I have, and the price point is not bad. $349, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it's $349. And I'm showing you this section right here where it says Wilson in the cavity. Now, you can read all about the tech in this. James on our website has a full story. It's up. And I think that it is something that a lot of people are going to like. My question about this release, and I'm going to throw this to you as somebody who doesn't follow golf equipment as closely as, let's say, I do.
Right.
Wilson hasn't been, they're typecasted in a way as kind of an iron company. They've mm-hmm. had putters for years, and some of them have been really good. The Infinite Line for the money, $129, $149, even $199, a good price point for those.
Sure.
Had a nice designed in Chicago cavity, and each one was kind of named after a Chicago area, so to speak. And then before that, they had the Harmonized line, which usually, if you could still find them, they're in stores, under $100, you know, cheaper. But when you hear Wilson, do you think premium putter?
No. No, I don't. And I'll go a step further. I will say that I looked at this in depth. I looked at the putter you showed it to me beforehand. And it's a really good looking putter. But when we talked about this, the Wilson on the cavity, as you said.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to switch back to you.
So the Wilson that's right there.
That doesn't scream premium to me.
No. And, you know, you look at the face, the shield looks premium.
Oh, it looks awesome.
The sole of the
clean.
Putter looks great and
so
clean. The shaping is phenomenal. The milling is great. Everything
the head cover is even actually really nice. It's very substantial.
Yeah. But as you said, the Wilson in the cavity is the exact same Wilson that's on the Harmonized line.
Right.
So For our audience, Arrow, stay where you are. For our audience, they're going to know, wow, premium milled, very different than the harmonized line, without question.
Right.
For the layman who goes into the store, let's say they drop into an Edwin Watts, and I'm making a guess of who's going to have these, but Edwin Watts or Roger Dunn, a Vans, wherever you are, and they see two Wilson putters and they pick them up and they look at the cavity. They both say the exact same thing. One is $349, one is $79. What are they going to think?
They're going to be confused, because I'd be confused. I'd be looking at it going, what I don't understand the difference. What am I paying for? What makes it? I mean, maybe if I held one and the other one was significantly heavier or something, you know, but I wouldn't, me as just like Joe Schmo wouldn't know.
So I'm going to throw this back at Wilson and I'm going to challenge them in a way to message this correctly and make sure that people know what they're talking about and what they're seeing, whether that be retail salespeople, whether that be people on the internet, because you have something here. The price point is decent for what people are getting. The putter feels phenomenal. Make it so people understand that this is not the same as the harmonized line was, because the cavity looks identical.
And I don't know how you differentiate that. That's the problem. I don't know how they could even, just from like a visual standpoint, change that.
I think that it would come down to retail displays.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could do something with that if they wanted to make the investment in that. But whether that be, you know, clear boxes, just something that shows premium.
Do you think that they could have some sort of a premium logo? Like, and when I say logo, I just mean like something that's distinctive to the premium line. Like you see this dot or you see this whatever, this symbol, and that means premium.
I think they could. And honestly, I think for a lot of golfers, this line on the face, this symbol on the face right here says that. For years, it was Wilson staff is different than Wilson.
Right.
But when you turn it over, and I understand they're getting back to being Wilson, and for what it's worth, I like that.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Wilson Labs. I like the stuff we've seen. I like everything about this other than the confusion it's going to bring. And I challenge Wilson to change that confusion and make it a positive.
I like it. I'll be curious to see what happens.
So we kind of mentioned companies staying in their lane. And I'm going to throw a couple of companies to you.
Okay.
And you're going to respond. Yeah, you're going to respond with the lane you think of with them. And, you know, throw it out there. Like when most people say TaylorMade, you think of drivers.
Yes.
You know, if
you know what's funny? I still think of the Ghost driver.
Well, that was the Ghost putter, but I know what you mean. The R11 that was white.
Yeah, the white. Exactly. No, that's what I think of still. That and the Spider. Like to me, those are the two things that say TaylorMade.
Yeah. Ironically, the people who were responsible for those in a lot of ways are no longer there.
Yeah.
Those were big sellers.
I played the Spider for a long time.
You did. In fact, given one by Kia Ma, who was a longtime putter guy there too, as well. When I say Mizuno, what do you think of?
Irons.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody does. So I ask, if companies are typecasted, whoa, that wind is hard if you can't hear that through the audio or video. If companies are typecasted, A, how do they get out of that?
That's a good question.
And B, where does it extend to? So, like, and I'm going to use Mizuno here, and I don't mean to put them on the spot in any way whatsoever, because I'm friendly with the people there. I love their products. We talk about them. We just had an event at TPC Sawgrass with them. But if you're Mizuno and you know your craftsmanship is high, mm-hmm. how do you get out of being an iron company?
I don't know. It's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I would think that it would...
Obviously, people are paid a lot more than we are to come up with those answers.
Obviously, yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah. So this is where it gets interesting for me.
Okay.
First of all, I think Mizuno's done a fantastic job of marketing their putters and drivers.
Yes.
To gain acceptance. I think that they've done extremely well with them. Our audience has really adapted to both sides of those rather well.
Here's a question. Do you think tour influence...
I'm the wrong person to ask that, because I'm still in the old school category that says tour influence does matter in some ways.
Yeah, but tell that to Nike.
Yeah, I agree there. That was bad marketing. I stand by that, and I'll say it till the day I die. But tour influence matters to an extent. Signing
We were talking about Wilson. I'll use Wilson example. Kevin Streelman putting this in play is a big deal for Wilson.
Right.
There isn't a consumer outside of Kevin Streelman's family that's going to say, Kevin Streelman plays this, I need to play it too.
No, that's true. But then, okay, what about...
Before you say that, let me finish. I will say that having that used on tour is validation. And that matters.
Yes.
Whether it's Kevin Streelman or somebody else.
Do you remember... And I'm probably going to mess this up. But do you remember years ago when Furyk won something with like some old Yes putter that he picked up right off of the rack?
Yeah, $39 at like a Play It Again Sports.
Right. And then wasn't there like a mad dash to go find Yes putters?
Yeah. And I'll say that those things happen. I do think they're slightly outliers because the story is so unique.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But if Kevin Streelman put this putter in the bag, and I think he's playing one right now, and won his first tournament out using it, yes, that would be a story. If Kevin Streelman wins once and it happens to be in the bag, I don't think it's as big a story. It can be. And again, this goes back to challenging Wilson to create some messaging around the premium quality at a price that's acceptable without saying premium and cheap, because I think those things are like the two magnets that go together not well,
yeah.
You know, when you reverse them. So, but going back to the stay in your lane side of things, Mizuno using, and I'm using them strictly as an example because I happen to have one of the things here that we're going to talk about, is an iron company. I think they've embraced that to an extent, and I think they've moved past that recently. And
because in some ways, not to cut off your train of thought, when you thought Mizuno, you thought Forged, right?
Yeah, I think you still do.
Right, like
you
know, that's sort of, they're synonymous in a way.
Nothing feels like a Mizuno is synonymous with what they do. But then I ask you about this. Okay.
Yes.
Our viewers can see what I'm holding up. Our audio listeners can't. I'm holding up a T22 52 degree wedge in their blue finish. It's gorgeous. It's a wedge. They've made wedges. They continue to make wedges. They're forged. They're an extension in a lot of ways of what they do with an iron. But why aren't they up there in the conversation with Top in Class?
I don't know. Wedges are a weird one like that, too. It seems like it's a really hard market to dominate.
Because, you know, if you think of wedges...
I think of Cleveland.
Yeah, and most people think Cleveland or Vokey or Callaway.
Exactly.
Those are the three that come to mind.
Yeah.
And those are phenomenal wedges.
Yeah.
They don't make mistakes.
True.
Now, I've been critical of... Well, Christ, at some point in time, I've been critical of everybody, but those are just my opinions, and obviously people smarter than me get paid to make those decisions, and I agree that they've done a great job. But if I'm looking at Mizuno, and I'm holding up this, and Phil, they have three other finishes. You can get a finish to match any iron you have. Why aren't they selling wedges? And I've asked myself this a couple of times. The first is, budgets are not endless.
No.
You have to pick and choose what you can put out there to people. The second thing is, if you go to Cleveland, Callaway, Titleist with Vokey, you see every loft, you see 25 grinds. Before recently, if you went to Mizuno, you'd see every 2 degrees, they can bend, obviously.
Right.
And something very classic, and I don't want to say simple, because that dumbs it down, and I don't mean it that way. And that was part of it. Now there's some other aspects to these that are standing out. But I'm curious to our audience more than anything else is, if you were Mizuno, how would you market your wedges? Because you have a forged offering, which whether you believe forging's not, whatever you think of that, the word says premium.
Agreed.
You have finishes that are... not just what everybody else does.
I mean, that blue is ridiculous.
Yeah, they have a dark finish. They have a chrome finish. They have what they have called denim copper is one of the best looking finishes in golf. It's like that. It's like a matte copper with some blue undertones to it. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And then this blue, which the face is not blue, obviously. But I challenge our audience to tell us why you do not consider Mizuno wedges. If you're playing them, great. Tell us why you chose them. But if you don't play them, why did you skip over them, or why didn't you play them? Is it because you didn't get a chance to try them? Because if we say Mizuno, as Morgan said a minute ago, is an iron company, this is an iron.
Yeah, that's actually kind of interesting. I don't think, because I think that people separate, here, arrows in my lap again. I think that people kind of separate that a little bit. You think of irons, you think of woods, drivers, fairway woods. Hybrid, I kind of think, as the word states, kind of can go either way.
Yeah, and it depends on the company you're with if hybrid is kind of an iron or if it's kind of a wood.
Yeah, exactly. And then you think wedges, and then you think putter. And they're all kind of independent and individual from each other.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And I work in golf. I study golf equipment for a living. God help us all. And I still view this separate as an iron.
Yeah, I do too. I wouldn't even, in my head, I don't even think of wedges as irons at all.
And the market leaders in this are not also the market leaders in irons.
No, and it's interesting because when you get a set, you get through pitching wedge, gap wedge. It literally says wedge. It's called a wedge.
Yeah.
But you don't think of them as wedges in a way.
No, so I'm challenging the audience. I want to know your opinion. Why you chose Mizuno wedges or why you didn't try them, because I'm genuinely curious. And I'll throw that out to any other company that you think is typecasted in a way. Why are they done that way? And do you think their other stuff isn't as good? Or, you know, what is your reason? Just help me out here in general with why a company gets typecasted. Should they stay in their lane, so to speak, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That was a lot of et ceteras.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned, we've been talking about stay in your lane, Wilson coming with the premium putter, Mizuno with these wedges.
Oh, this is a good one.
I have a new product that hit our website last week.
Yes.
I shouldn't say last week. Well, Saturday is, you know, last week. But this was interesting because, A, it dropped on a Saturday. So if you didn't see it, we forgive you. You can go find the article. We have a full feature on it. It's got all the tech specs and everything else. But Superstroke launched a rangefinder.
Say what?
So, a putter grip company that I think the world of. I think what they do with putter grips is unlike any other. And they've dabbled in other things in the past over the years.
Sure.
But they have a rangefinder, a laser that's out. And it's pretty interesting.
That is interesting. I can see certain companies like niche, I'm going to call them a niche company, not, but it
is. I know what you mean. A not non-equipment company.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
It is.
I can see if materials if you can reuse materials that you're already using to make your grips to make other products and then have a product line based around that or something to that nature, that makes sense to me. This doesn't make sense. Not that it doesn't make sense. I'm not like connecting the two quite yet.
Yeah, and I think as people try this out, maybe the dots get connected, or maybe it's just Superstroke is going to expand their horizons. I would love to see. I don't need credit for this. I just want one. I want to see the shell, you know, like an outer band around the thing, be a Superstroke grip. I think that would be awesome.
That would be so awesome. I love that idea.
That's a free one.
No, I think it's a great idea. And I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with people expanding.
I think it'll come down to messaging also.
Exactly. I think at the end of the day, people say marketing doesn't matter. Marketing matters so much.
A few years ago, Superstroke launched Superstroke Nation. And I don't know how much they still do with it. I'm sure a ton. But it's basically their community of users. Mm-hmm. You can sign up. It's free. And you get information on when limited editions are dropping and things like that, because they are the putter grip that actually has quite a few limited editions that come out, and some of them are really well done. If they can embrace that audience with this one, I think it's actually going to be much more successful than people think.
I hope so. I always wish success for everybody.
And speaking of success.
Yes.
BarkBox. They are still a part of this show. We want to thank them for it. Everybody loves BarkBox. If you have a dog and you aren't using BarkBox, you're missing out. As you can see throughout this episode, if you watched.
Just look at that face.
Our show is dedicated to a dog, and yours should be too. So if you go to www.barkbox.com/THPGolf, you'll get a free month added to whatever subscription you sign up for. Whether you guys sign up or not, just know that this company stands by everything. The responses we get on the THP forum for people who have signed up are fantastic. So if you get a chance, give them a try. And that is it for this week, Morgan.
Yes. So for Arrow, let's see if I can get there. I know. I'm sorry. He didn't like that. Sorry.
And me. thank you guys for tuning in. We look forward to hearing your thoughts. There are some in-depth questions in this one, so let us know what you think. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.